This is WBUR's Morning Edition. I'm Rupa Shenoy. Marshes have been called the kidneys of the landscape because they clean pollutants from water. They also protect communities against storm surges and erosion and are better than forests at capturing carbon. They're considered critical in the fight against climate change. But when marshes are under stress, they degrade and actually release carbon into the atmosphere. As Patty White reports, scientists in Maine recently unlocked a mystery that helps explain what's happening to marshes and how to restore them.
Even though the Rachel Carson Wildlife Refuge is tucked into one of the most populated counties in Maine, it's still possible to get lost here.
No, I think we're going to have to bushwhack.
Refuge scientist Susan Adamovich considers herself a doctor of the planet and has come to check on one of her patients, a salt marsh that's only accessible through dense forest. It's part of the 3,000 acres of marsh that are protected at Rachel Carson. Adamovich is joined by Jeff Wilson, manager of the Bear Creek Wildlife Sanctuary in Massachusetts, which also does work restoring sensitive ecosystems. As we move through the forest, the ground changes. It's more wet. Adamovich advises to step carefully to avoid sinking into a hole.
Now that we're moving into the marsh, the plants are going to be senesced or gone to sleep for the winter. So just step on a plant rather than mud or a watery location, okay?
The forest opens to a 200-acre marsh blanketed with tall grass in shades of gold, rust, and green.
The salt marshes are my Serengeti. They are wild places that bring all kinds of animals and plants there. They're austere. They're dramatic.
They're also in trouble. As we continue walking into the marsh, Adamovich gives a clue as to why.
You might have noticed that you went up in elevation a little bit. Your footing is a little more firm. So we believe this is probably the location of one of the first embankments that the farmers placed.
As far back as the 1600s, farmers piled soil in marshes to make embankments. They blocked out the tides so they had more fresh water to grow crops. Marsh scientists along the East Coast walked over these embankments for years without realizing what they were. But about a decade ago, Adamovich and Wilson noticed an unnatural pattern of embankments in a marsh in Cape Elizabeth. They turned to old agricultural journals for clues and found the blueprints for these embankment systems. Here at Rachel Carson, Jeff Wilson points out one embankment.
Here's one here.
After another.
One here or so.
After another.
I mean, so this marsh is huge. And
yep.
Are there embankments covering this?
Everywhere. They're more common than stone walls. That was another thing that really just took us by surprise.
There are so many, they make a grid pattern in the marsh. And Wilson says it's disrupting the natural flow of water in and out.
There are multiple small, like dimples of a golf ball that are filling up with water at a greater frequency than they used to. And then they hold that water, and that's making it very difficult for the plants to survive.
The marsh is now like an overwatered houseplant. It's also sinking. Those small puddles are turning into larger ones called megapools. Adamovich trudges into one and pulls out a soil sample to show what it's doing to the marsh.
So what I want to show you...
At the bottom of the cylinder-shaped sample are the remnants of roots and grasses. They're a sign of the carbon that these marsh plants have pulled out of the atmosphere. Centuries worth of carbon is stored in marshes. It's one reason why they're so important to mitigate climate change. But at the top of the sample, there's a layer of muck. Adamovich says that means...
We have lost the carbon sequestration function of this watery area.
In fact, it's not only lost the ability to capture carbon, says Wilson.
It's releasing carbon right now.
But the discovery of how embankment systems were engineered in the past has given scientists clues for how to restore these marshes and get the water flowing again. First, map the embankment systems. Then figure out where to dig small strategic channels to let water flow where it needs to. But scientists say that alone will not be enough to preserve marshes from the effects of climate change.
Just off to the left, there's this bow or triangle of standing dead trees.
It's a ghost forest at the edge of the marsh with skeletons of trees that have died from encroaching seawater. The marsh is migrating into this ghost forest, and while migration is natural, it's a process that's being accelerated by climate change. To truly preserve marshes for the future, upland areas will also need to be protected.
What we're trying to do now is identify those areas where there's still open land, natural land next to the marsh, that we can talk to those landowners about conservation options.
Jeremy Gabrielson, the conservation planner at the Maine Coast Heritage Trust, says upland conservation would help preserve dozens of marshes across the state.
We've identified 60 marshes from here all the way to Lubeck that they're good candidates for land protection as a strategy to help support the future of those marshes.
Protecting that land is challenging, given the increasing development pressures along the Maine coast. But combined with the restoration efforts of scientists like Susan Adamovich and Jeff Wilson, who are working with teams along the East Coast to restore saltwater marshes, they are effective ways to confront climate change.
Our restoration projects are no longer 20 acres here or 15 acres there. We're thinking on the scale of hundreds of acres at a time. And that gives me hope.
But scientists need to move quickly, she says. By 2030, a new lunar cycle will make high tides even higher, bringing more seawater into marshes and making restoration more difficult. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Patty White.